You know, one of the things the Spirit's trying to do is bring us into the new reality, the next dimension. He's trying to loose us from this temporary lie of deception reality. And the only way to access the new reality is to deny yourself. But you access and touch it by worship, by praise, because your breath is known as spirit. And when your breath opens the door, it's almost like trying to unlock something. You know, you could be standing at the door, pound, 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 pound. In fact, you'd be knocking, going, oh, you're screaming. You know. But in the spirit realm, as you are worshiping the Lord, the door opens. If you can't worship the Lord, you never access that new life. You'll never get there. Because that's where the Bible says, deny yourself. Amen? If you can't deny yourself, you ain't never going to get a new creation. You're never going to reach that place, man. You'll still be the same way you are. That's why a lot of people are still, I've been a Christian 40 years. Yeah, well, you never crossed over. You never could humble yourself. Your eyes are on yourself instead of Him. But I'm telling you, as you begin to praise and worship the Lord, you begin to access and that door opens. That's the chambers of the tabernacle. We want access to the most holy place. And that anointing there is known as kingship. That's warrior. So you can't be a warrior if you can't access the most holy place. How can you? You'll be a wimp. Every time the devil attacks you, you'll be crying and screaming and, you're calling him names and he's going to still kick your butt. And so the anointing backs your words. Then you cast out devils. And that becomes a hobby. Hallelujah. How many of y'all know we're in the last days? We are in a time of what we call the final trumpet blast. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. And He made us what? Kings and priests to His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So we are called to be kings and priests, but you can't be a king unless you first fulfill priesthood. Amen? And one of the major functions of a priest is one who ministers to the Lord. And how do you minister to the Lord? You worship Him. You praise Him. Amen? Verse 7, behold, He is coming with clouds, and every eye will see Him, even they who pierced Him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of Him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Again, we are called to be priests and kings. Now, there's something else that a priest also does. A priest is considered a watchman. Amen? But again, you can't even become a priest without priestly garments. So you must get priestly garments, and that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the second chamber of the tabernacle. So when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, priestly garments come. Why? Because you now get a language that speaks directly to God, not to men. So that's where you want to desire the gifts of tongue, the gift of tongue, so you can speak directly to the Father. And that's the second chamber. Now you've got a priesthood. You become a priest or priestess, and you get priestly garments. And that's the robe of garments. It's the anointing. It's the second chamber. And in that there are duties. Not only are you a watchman, but you're an individual that blows the trumpet. Now, the trumpet is your mouth. Hello, you ain't got to blow a sax or a shofar. The trumpet is your mouth. Everyone say, my mouth is the trumpet. Praise God. Ezekiel 33, verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people, and say to them, When I bring a sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him a what? Watchman or priest. When he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people. So again, one of the, there's multiple services of blowing the trumpet. Okay, remember, we talked about the trumpet being your mouth. But as a priest and a watchman, or watchwoman, whatever, one of the things is, the first one, the major things is warning. You are to give warning. Amen? So he says, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, verse 4, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. Now, how many of y'all know that there's a sound of trumpet going all over the world right now? Amen? Everywhere. There's warning, 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 warning. Some people are just plain stupid. And that's because the demonic powers holding them. They're blinding them. And they're, you know, I've tried to warn some people. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Why? Because then I'm accountable. Oh. So if I was going to tell you your car is going to blow up in 10 minutes, if you're going to stay in there? You know. I mean, this is how people, again, this is the powers of darkness that are messing with people's minds. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself, but who takes warning will save his what? His life. Verse 6. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So understand that God, when you become that watchman, when you become a priest, there's accountability. Amen? You know, everybody wants to be somebody in the kingdom, but they're not willing to take the responsibility. And you can't be something that God's not called you to be anyways. You can fake it, but you ain't going to make it. Amen? Hallelujah. So again, the first thing is warning. It's a trumpet blast. Now, these warnings can be all kinds, you know. It can be a warning of war. It can be warning of anything. But right now, God is warning everyone about the financial collapse. He's warning everybody. He's exposing everything, isn't he? Amen. Hebrews 12, 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Now, what's he talking about? Escape from what? Lake of fire. Or destruction. Amen. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates that the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may what? Remain. That's why God says, My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Know what's going on. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Again, these warnings that are shaking the lobe, it's the shake till people come awake. Amen? They call it the Great Awakening. But it's actually one of the trumpets that's blowing. It's constantly blowing globally, all over the world. Matthew 13, 36. And Jesus sent a multitude away and went into the house. And the disciples came to him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field." He answered and said to them, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age." End of what? Age means a period of time. It's a transition period. "And the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned into the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will" what? "Gather." That's one of the trumpet blows. One of the trumpets is gathering. Now, it might be a gathering for a celebration. It might be a gathering to come into service. It might be, in other words, the trumpet's blowing for gathering. It's to bring unity. "And they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him" what? "Hear." Again, this is gathering. This is a meeting. It's an end of a period, an age. Joshua 6, verse 15. So we talked about the trump blast of warning, the trump blast of gathering, meeting. And there's a trump blast of battle, or what we call movement. Advance or movement. But it says, "But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city seven times in the same manner." On that day only they marched around seven times. And on the seventh time it happened, when the priest blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. And you all, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things, and make the camp of Israel a curse, troubling. But all the silver and the gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. They utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young, old, and ox, and sheep, and donkey, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country, "Go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her." And the young men who had been spies went into and brought out the Rahab, for her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all of her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. Why? Because they helped the Israelites. Now again, they left. When they went in, they left with the gold, the silver, everything. Why? Because it was the trumpet of battle. It was the last final trump, the blowing of battle. And that's what God's getting ready to do. He's blowing the trumpet. People are getting ready. There's spiritual warfare going on right now that's been going on. But there's another battle, because everything starts in the spirit realm to manifest in the physical realm. The instructions come to us in this realm, in this reality, so that we can decree it in the other reality, and that we can release into that reality, into a present time reality. But see, this is where you've got to deny yourself. This is the area where you've got to hear the voice of God, know what's happening. Gathering. And the Bible says, forget not to what? Forsake, don't forsake what? Gathering. Amen. Hallelujah. So we see that this trump is a trump to battle in advance or move. What's happening right now will never happen again. I mean, think about it. You know, our little peanut brains have a hard time comprehending this. We've been hearing about prophetic things coming, and all of a sudden we're in it. Think about all the generations that have prophesied and heard and been waiting for what's happening right now to come. And here we are. Why are we here at this time? Why are we still alive? Most of us should be dead. I should have been dead 16 times, overdosed enough times. Every one of us should have been dead. But the prayers of the saints and the hand of God was on us. It says he takes the foolish things, right? He turns us morons into trophies. So he can get the glory. Praise God. Woohoo! Matthew 24, verse 3, please. Now, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the what? Age or transitional period. There are multiple transitional periods I'll talk about here in a second. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one does what? Deceive you. Satan's greatest weapon, deception. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars. Is that happening now? And rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. Is that happening? More than ever. See, but the media doesn't want you to know that because they're servants of darkness. Can you imagine we've had over 16,000 earthquakes and people don't know? That's pretty wild, isn't it? Because it's never reported. All these things that are beginning of what? Sorrows. Wow. Beginning of what? Sorrows. It is the end of a transition period, or what we call age. So we see all of these things are happening right now. Amen. We're in it. We are in transitional. Now, let's talk about a few of them. Actually, I want to talk about a quick seven of them. Seven means complete and perfect. Amen. Genesis 3, verse 14. Now, we know that Adam and Eve, Adam was created in the image of God. Amen. Image and likeness. And they were put in the garden so God could train them up. And the serpent was there also. In fact, the serpent was a servant to Adam. And all the fallen angels were servants to Adam. God said, name the animals. Adam had control of everything. That's why the serpent didn't go after Adam. He went after Eve. Hallelujah. So after they blew it, right? They sinned. They fell into fornication. Here's the judgments of God. In verse 14. Is everybody there? So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust in all the days of your life. And I'll put hatred or enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, curse is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. Out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And Adam called his wife named Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Also, now I love this, because she was the mother of all living. Well, think about this. How could she be the mother of all living? Because she was pregnant. Amen? And she conceived two children. And where did these children come from? The serpent. Oh, snap. Hallelujah. Now, in verse 21, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. So in this, we see that this was kind of like the first age, the first transitional period. Because everything was going cool until they blew it, you know. And in this, but God made a way of escape for them. Because he said, if you eat of these things, you're going to die, right? If you partake of this, you're going to die. Now, they didn't die, did they? But they could have gone to hell, couldn't they? So God did what? He took an animal. He killed it, shed blood, and covered them. So this was the first way of escape. This was the first end and a new beginning. And so, because it was God forgave them. The second one is in Genesis 6, verse 1. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God, which were known as angels, saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. So these angels put on flesh and came into the world and took wives. The Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with men forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. That's what we call Nephilim. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. Because this went on for 400 years, interbreeding. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So Noah was favorable. These were known as the days of Noah. And what was their escape? The flood. God warned Noah, didn't he? He said, look, build this ark, and you'll escape. So this was known as the days of Noah's age, transitional time. Again, every time God did something in the transitional period, there was always an escape. Always an escape. Then we go to the third one, which is the days of Nimrod. Because this is after the flood in Genesis 11. In verse 1. Now the whole earth had what? One language. One speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a place in the land of Shinar, which is actually Iraq. And they dwelt there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them from abroad over the face of the earth. Now again, these are the days of Nimrod. Nimrod was a mighty warrior, and so forth. He was actually a Nephilim. And after the flood, headed back, the Nephilim ruled the earth. Again, this was where government, because Nimrod was the government of the whole earth. Amen. And God caused the escape of mankind, because it was actually like a one world order held by Nimrod. Now, and they were becoming perverse. Things were starting all over again. Transhumanism, all the other stuff, perversion and everything else. And go to Ecclesiastes 1 for a second. Verse 9. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of the former things, nor will there be any remembrance of the things that are to come by those who will come after. Again, things do what then? They repeat themselves. They do what? Repeat. They fall into cycles. So we see that what was going on with Nimrod was the same thing. What we're seeing right now is just a repeat. Things are being recycled. And Genesis 22, verse 1. There was another time of transition or age. This was basically known as the patriarchs. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So he told Abraham, take your son and go sacrifice him. I mean, you know, I think people would freak out if they heard God tell them to do that. I mean, even their animal. They'll sacrifice your puppy, you know, whatever. So, but just think how powerful that is for God to go tell you to go sacrifice one of your children. I mean, come on. And Abraham obeyed. Ooh. And go to verse, I'm going to skip this a little bit. Verse 7, but Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Surprise, son. Verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. So the two of them went up together, and they came to the place where God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in the order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, saying, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have withheld your son, your only son, from me. Wow. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for the burnt offering instead of his son. Why, God provide. In other words, this is prophetic, wasn't it? Because Jesus would be the lamb for me and you. And he made another way of escape by what? Blood. By blood. Exodus 12. This is the fifth transition. Now the Israelites were in captivity for 400 years, and God called to Moses to rescue them. Exodus 12, verse 1, let's speak of it. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, and a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall take it until the 14th day of the same month, then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at what? Twilight. Remember, Jesus was crucified at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat. Where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roast it in fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roast it in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning. What remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hands. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the what? Lord's Passover. So which we just celebrated the Feast of Passover. Amen. For I'll pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. So we know that these seven feasts of the Lord recycle every year. But Jesus came to fulfill feasts. And he's already fulfilled the first four feasts. Amen. Feast of Passover, unleavened, first fruits. Hallelujah. Pentecost. Amen. Praise God. So we understand now that in this point out of God, amen, in his spirit, the next one to be fulfilled is Feast of Trumpets. Trumpets. Then the Feast of what? Atonement. And then the Feast of... Anybody know it? Thy kingdom come, thy will heart. Anyways, I guess my singing's not good enough. Tabernacles. Yes, it's when he comes and establishes the earth, on the earth, the kingdom of God. So anyways, he makes another way, amen? And in this is what we call the time of, I guess in the Exodus, because it was Moses, in this transition, it was a law. Remember, the Lord gave Moses the Ten Commandments and so forth. So this is a transitional time or period of what we call the law, legalism. But thank God it was the old covenant, and Jesus came to bring the what? New covenant. So we go to John chapter 1, the sixth transition, known as the Age of Grace, transitional into the Age of Grace. John 1:14, let's speak it together. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We held His glory in the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace age of grace. What's grace mean? God's plan of escape. Amen. It's not favor. And people tell me, oh, you got grace. The only reason why you got favor is because you're cooperating with the plan. Full of grace and what? Truth. Hallelujah. Full of grace and truth. Thank you, Jesus. Let's continue on. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So we see this is the age of what we call grace, or God's plan of escape. And how did that escape come? Through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He shed the blood. He was the Lamb, wasn't he? Amen. In Hebrews chapter 9, 23. Therefore, it is necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as a high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have to had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Amen. In the seventh one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. So Jesus brought the new covenant. It was a transition time of age of grace with a new covenant. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, those who died in Christ, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe, what's the word believe mean? Follow. That Jesus, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. So we see here that the final escape is known as the rapture. So everybody is looking forward to that rapture. But the rapture ain't yet. We still got a little bit of stuff to go through. But it will be one of the final blasts of the trumpet. Remember, what's the trumpet for? Warning, gathering, and battle. And I'm going to close it 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a what? A mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then it shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So we see these are kind of like seven transitions, transitional periods. But I want to share something vitally important. Jesus is the head. Amen. Right now this is not exalting a man, but God has ordained a man like you ordained Moses, Abraham, amen, Saul, who became Paul, King David. He's ordained men, and he has ordained the Trump, Donald Trump. He's ordained, or things revolve around that man right now. Not because he's God. He's just been called by God. He's ordained by God. Everything is revolving around him. He is a part of the last trumpet blast. Does everybody understand it? The world hates him, but then the parts of the world love him. The powers of darkness hate him. Because God took a man and put his hand on him and turned him into his image and likeness. And the anointing is on this man. And he's warning people. He's speaking now. He's been silent for a little bit, but now he's out. The world is going to turn and revolve. Everything's going to transition. And that man's going to be the center point of it. Because God has ordained him. Does everybody understand that? And God has ordained the body of Christ in the area right now. We are the Joseph ministry in this period of time, getting prepared. God is releasing the anointing of the Joseph ministry. And if you look up what Joseph went through and everything else, that's what the body of Christ has been going through. There are specific ministries that are the Joseph ministry. And that's to reach and infiltrate places in the end time to be storehouses for God. So people can get fed, clothed, sheltered, healed, delivered, set free. And these places will be established all over the world. What a time we are in right now. But God is training up his people. Don't get caught up in the world. Get caught up in the Lord. You know, when we were out there using and doing all kinds of other stuff, the whole time we've been on this planet, we've been looking for God's presence and not knowing it. It's his presence that we desire. That's why people want to feel good. You want to feel good, it's because you were born to feel good. But the enemy puts everything else in the way. Money, this, that, whatever, drugs, alcohol. Everybody's trying to feel good. But the only real true fulfillment and feeling great, the greatest high is the most high. Amen? Praise God. So this is where we are. This is what's happening. The Lord is releasing the warning, the gathering, amen, and the battle. The trumpets are blowing. Be ready. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that you protect the seed that's been imparted and prepare us that we yield to the training for reigning as you continue to bring us through Holy Ghost Boot Camp Officers Training School. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah.